ஓம் நம சிவாய. டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர்க், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் கவாய் ஹிந்து லெக்சர்ஸ். தி டைட்டில்ஸ் ஆர் பர்சனல் பிளான் பார்ட் 1, சின்சினாட்டி ரிப்போர்ட் ஸ்டோரிஸ், பிரசன்டட் பை ஸ்ரீ சிவாய போதிநாத வேலாயுத சுவாமி. தேங்க்யூ. ஓம் நம சிவாய.
Morning, we're going to make you do all the work. Classes where you actually have to do something? Not one of those. You don't get to just listen and nod your head and possibly ask one question. So I thought we'd look at planning, personal planning this morning. We sent out some of you a suggestion. It's a good time of year to do planning. Our year-round calendar, Gurudeva created a calendar which has three seasons. First season is called Nartana Rata, which ends April 15th through August 15th. And one of the activities that Gurudeva recommended for this time of year is planning. It's an intellectual time of year. Those of you who know astrology, you know it's starting out with all the intellectual signs starting mid-April. So it's a good time of year to think. So I'll read from the overview. So, topic is called a personal plan, and today's idea is developing a personal plan. We'll give you an opportunity, a few minutes, to go out and write down some ideas. Though the connection may not be immediately obvious, having an up-to-date personal plan is quite helpful for our spiritual life. This is because it helps us follow a balanced approach to living, as well as provides specific goals in the various departments of our lives that help us stay motivated and focused. For those who are single, the personal plan is for the individual. And for those who are married, the personal plan is for all members of the family. So, may not be self-evident, but our moods in life tend to relate to our plans in life. Various times in life, we run out of plans. A classic example is someone who's worked their whole life retires. U.S., fortunately, the age might be 67 or so. It's getting pretty late. In Malaysia, you retire at 55. Imagine that. 55 years, you're retired. So, it can be very challenging because you're just used to the motivation of it's provided by the workplace. It gets you up in the morning, the thought of losing your job, you know, get you dressed nicely and you know, the workplace motivates us a lot. If you take the workplace away, you need to replace it with other forms of motivation. So that's an obvious example that everyone eventually faces, the same kind of major change comes from a mother when all the children leave home. The life really changes. I mean, the whole point of focus that has motivated you your whole life, getting the children ready for this for the children, doing that for the children, all of a sudden there aren't any children in the home to do it for. What do you do instead? What motivates you? What gets you up in the morning? What gives meaning to your life? Well, it needs to be something inside of yourself, right? Because what was outside of yourself is provided that meaning isn't there anymore. So that's kind of the extreme example showing the need for personal planning. But if we don't have a strong plan, then we'll get depressed. We'll get discouraged to one degree or another, depending on our nature, during that point in our life. And we can shorten our life too. You know, we retire at age 65, and if we don't have good goals in our life to keep us going, we don't live as long as we could. We run out of things to do. There's a nice statement on that, I think I can remember it. It's something like, we don't stop being active because we grow old. We grow old because we're stopped being active. That idea that reverses the normal way of looking at things. What causes us to age more than anything else is lack of positive activities. And what keeps us young at an older age is an abundance of meaningful activities. So, of course, we have to create those ourselves when we get older, because life isn't necessarily going to do it for us. So, insights from Gurudeva. Planning, as you know, Gurudeva loved to plan. The great planner, Capricorn. Planning is very important to Gurudeva, and it's in one of the sutras, Sutra 9. It says, Siva's devotees approach each enterprise with deliberate thoughtfulness and act only after careful consideration. They succeed in every undertaking by having a clear purpose, a wise plan, underline, persistence, and push. A good example of the need for a plan, and I mentioned this on Inner Search as part of our class, is when someone is starting a new business. Crucial to develop a business plan that outlines all the major aspects of the business, such as production, sales, marketing, advertising, financial projections, and even sales projections. Though only a small percent of people have a business, everyone has a personal life that would benefit from a plan. Individuals or families are like a business. To work, they need a plan. And it is also necessary to revise plans periodically to adjust to major changes in the individual's life or family life structure, such as an individual or the husband retires. An individual or family takes on the responsibility of caring for an elderly parent. The children have all married and left home. The family moves to a new community. The relationship between husband and wife is not as harmonious as it used to be. One spouse becomes chronically ill. So those are major changes in life that can occur to any of us, and each change of that nature, let alone multiple changes, requires a major change in our personal plan. Otherwise, we won't be able to cope with it in the best way we can. So these days, if you want to find anything, of course, you search on the web, and there it is. I want to find our Amaya Academy lexicon, I search on the web, and it takes me to it, rather than try and find it on our site. I just say Hinduism lexicon, and it goes straight to our lexicon. So that's how I found the Yogaswami story. I was looking at the Yogaswami story, so. About two or three on the web. Not a lot of Yogaswami stories on the web, but there's more Words of Our Masters on the web on a number of sites, but not stories. So there were three stories on the web, and I chose what I thought was the best one. So, if you look on the web, you know, you can find lots of business plans, right? Hundreds of business plans pop up on the website to choose from. So, you know, I also check the website, and I search for personal plans, family plans, individual plans. So how many of those are? Zero, right? How many people need an individual plan versus how many people need a business plan? I mean, isn't it kind of interesting? It's just an area that's neglected, obviously. Finance is the one area in which people do plan a lot personally, but the other aspects of life aren't planned at all. And it's organized away as any business is, or finances are, but they're equally as important. Again, I look for books. Amazon.com doesn't have one single book on a personal plan, but hundreds of books on business plans. Okay? So what do? Well, we have to take our own approach for developing a personal plan. And however, we can learn a few important points from the business plan, which is they all start with a list of objectives. Then the strategy or plan to accomplish the objectives, including a financial plan. What a business plan calls objectives, a personal plan can call goals or purposes. As Anandi Nava Sutra says, first is a clear purpose. So purpose is the same idea as a business plan and objective. Business plan develops goals for the various departments of the business, such as production, sales, marketing, and finance. Therefore, in our personal plan, we need to divide life into its major departments. A useful guideline created many years ago by Gurudeva is the fivefold division of spiritual, social, cultural, economic, and educational. Some of you have heard that before, but to others I'm sure it's a new idea. There's five important aspects of our life that encompass almost everything. Spiritual, social, cultural, economic, and educational. Trouble with a spontaneous remark is I say what's in my next line. So. Beauty of this fivefold division is that it encompasses all aspects of life. Right? And therefore helps develop a balanced approach to living. So that's the idea. One of the ideas is a balanced approach. Usually we don't have a balanced approach. We leave important areas of life out. And so I was talking to one shishya recently, and she said, what are social goals? It wasn't clear to her what we meant by social goals, even though it was right here. Something she wasn't usually thinking about. So, one of the questions in developing a plan is, well, how many years do we develop a plan for? Well, she said years. Not how many days, how many months. How many years? So Gurudeva likes 6 years. But 6 years can be a bit challenging the first time around. So 3 years is looked at as a minimum. We have a 3-year plan, or at least planning ahead in a reasonable amount. If our plan is less than 3 years, we can be surprised by life. You know, we just haven't thought far enough ahead to take into account certain important events that are going to happen. We need to plan in many ways to encompass them properly. So, some sample goals. Spiritual. Sample goal for spiritual is yearly pilgrimage, even if it's just a few hundred miles to a different temple. For example, our Singapore members and students enjoy a group pilgrimage to the temples in Malaysia. So they like to do that on a regular basis. They'll jump in a bus, grab their friends and all, and have a nice pilgrimage up to Malaysia. It's a nice break. It's a pilgrimage because they're going to temples that they don't normally go to. That's the idea of a pilgrimage. You don't just go to the ones you always visit, but you go slightly further away. Go to ones you don't normally visit. Sample social goals. Extended family gatherings. Special family outings. When is the last time the family went horseback riding? Any horseback riders here? The monks were supposed to go horseback riding this retreat, but we haven't canceled yet. The monks actually go horseback riding.
Do we still have cooler?
No, we don't have any horses, but some of our friends have horses, so it's quite easy. Cultural activities, some samples. Children taking dance and music classes, that's quite common. Attending cultural performances as a family, that's common. Adults taking time to play music and sing. Some sample economic goals. Saving for the children's education. saving for retirement. So if someone has goals, usually they're economic goals. You know, you've got retirement all figured out. What about social goals, cultural goals, spiritual goals? Probably not. You know, you've got the economic goals are usually what are thought of first when you think of individual or family planning. Sample educational goals. Children's secular education, of course. Adults acquiring new skills, for example, those who are working, job-related skills to qualify for a promotion, that's something that's sometimes done in a systematic way. For those who aren't working, like the housewife, additional education in such areas as herbs and healing. So, in conclusion, having an up-to-date personal plan is quite helpful for our spiritual life. This is because it helps us follow a balanced approach to living, as well as provide specific goals in the various departments of our life that help us stay motivated and focused. The goal of this presentation is to catalyze everyone to think about the plan. For those who don't have one, to create one. For those who do, to add another year. And for families going through major adjustments, to seriously review their plan and see what major changes in it are needed. Exercise. Review the five areas that comprise a personal plan: spiritual, social, cultural, economic, and educational. Write down a few ideas for activities in each of these five areas. So, that's your homework. You can do your homework right now. So we're going to take half an hour, and then you can each pick up a copy and find a quiet corner somewhere on the property. And the first page is for you to put your name on it, just in case you misplace it. Then if it's found lying around, it can be given back to you. And then it has a page for each of the five areas with the sample activities we mentioned up at the top, just to get you thinking about each of the five areas. That was me, wasn't it? So the idea is to try and write down something useful for yourself that fits into your plan, whatever stage it's in. If you don't have any plan, it's some initial thoughts. If you have a plan that's solid, maybe you'll come up with a few new ideas, particularly in areas that you're not strong. Like some families aren't strong in social activities. Others aren't strong in cultural activities. So look for areas in which you're weak in particular, because we want a balance of activities in all five areas. And then if there's a major change in your situation, individual or family, that you haven't really encompassed in your planning, give that some thought. Write down some ideas. In what ways do we need to adjust to this change that we have? What activities do we need to have, or what activities do we need to stop because of these major changes in our life? So that's the assignment. So we have half an hour. So we'll see everyone back here in half an hour, and then the last part is for those who want to share some of the ideas they have for a couple of purposes. One is others hearing your ideas, share what you think are your best ideas, and it will inspire others in that area as well as possibly related areas which they haven't thought of. Plus, I can write them down, and then we can share them on the internet with others and do some more samples, because examples are good. And it's hard for monks to write all the examples here. So we need some real life examples from all of you. What are activities that are important to you and to your family? And then we can share those with others and help them in that way, and create a better plan and a more balanced life, and therefore more fulfilling life. So you can hand these out as everyone. Maybe we could add more. Yeah, just hand them out as they need, however you want to coordinate that, and then we can all gather back here in half an hour and share our findings over the seminar strategy. So thank you.
Good morning, everyone. guests from Honolulu, welcome. Wonderful to see you again. Talk this morning starts out about Cincinnati. We just returned, Sarika Adinala and I, from a nice July 4th weekend in Cincinnati. In fact, we got to watch the fireworks there from the, that were downtown from the Cincinnati Temple front steps for a few minutes. And we got to the 4th of July as well. So they have a Hindu temple of Greater Cincinnati there. Very diverse group with lots of deities. And the reason they invited us was they were moving the Murugan deity into a permanent location. They just completed building a south wing, and they had a permanent, what they call a permanent platform for the deity. And so they wanted us there for the installation ceremonies. So we got to go there starting Friday night with the traditional ceremony, the eye-opening ceremony. So for the eye-opening ceremony, the idea is the deity's eyes are opened, and so you show the deity everything auspicious. It's a little list of auspicious things. So it starts out with the virgin girl, the virgin boy, a married couple, an elderly couple, young cow, and a swami. You're supposed to have a swami there too. Yeah. So one swami is supposed to be considered auspicious. So I got to be the swami. So my turn came up, I got to go over and let Murugan watch me as the swami. And the cow happened to be a very small one, about this big. They had the clay, you know. In Atlanta, they had a real cow, a young cow, and brought in and pulled the cow, and everything, you know. This was a smaller ceremony, smaller budget, so the cow was just a small one. So that was fun. And one of the priests there seems to know us very well. We're not quite sure of the history, but his name is Devanathan Shivacharya, and he was very happy and that we were there. And at that ceremony, he said, you know, this deity happened to be gifted by Gurudeva many years ago. And he said, you know, everyone who worships this deity from now on will receive both the deity's blessings and Gurudeva's blessings too. That was his opinion. So that was a nice thought. So, fortunately, the souvenir program documented the complete history of the Murugan deity. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known it all. And so their effort started back in 1994. So this is like a 10-year effort. They've been working on this for 10 years, quite slowly. So the small group there, it's a very diverse society from all parts of India, and this particular group are devotees of Murugan. And so they, 10 years ago, they went and saw Swami Satchidananda, who at that time was nearby in his headquarters in Virginia, Yogadam, Virginia. And so they told him they wanted to get a Murugan deity, and he said, go see Gurudeva. He's the Swami that will help you. So they contacted Gurudeva in 1995, and they saw Gurudeva. They met both Gurudeva and Sayan Swami as they were returning. They stopped in the Cincinnati airport on their way back from Germany and met the group, and that inspired them further. And so Gurudeva asked, you know, which Murti of Murugan do you want? And they chose the Pala Madhirsalai Murti, along with two consorts, Bali and Devayanai. And so Gurudeva ordered those Murtis, and they arrived there in 1996. So they had the Murtis for 8 years as a gift from Gurudeva. So fortunately, the souvenir told me all that. Because I hadn't remembered all the details Gurudeva has given Murtis to so many temples that you know, we have to look it up in our master list. So a lot of the group, it was interesting, are from Sri Lanka. In fact, the coordinator of the group is from Malakam, which is a village near our Alabetti Ashram. It's just down the street, so to speak, Malakam, a few miles away. And he was just mentioning casually that when he was young, his father used to take him all the time to see our Gurudeva's guru, Yogaswami, in Kulukutarai. And he would go there as a young boy. And of course, he said he was too young to really understand Yogaswami and what was going on. But he did mention that whenever they entered the yard, he would open the gate and go in with his father, that Yogaswami, who of course couldn't see the gate, would call out his father's name and ask him to come in. So he didn't know, Yogaswami knew who was ever in his yard just by their thoughts. He didn't have to see them. So that was a nice statement. And there was another lady who came and offered us dinner one night, and she was from Kulubatara and recalls Gurudeva, meeting Gurudeva at the Olivetti Ashram, and being given some kind of pink fruit. That's all she can remember. Gurudeva gave her a pink fruit in Olivetti. So it made me realize, we wait another 20 years and all the stories from the elders from Sri Lanka will be about Gurudeva. How they met Gurudeva here and how they met Gurudeva there. It's going to change. Just give it more time. So on a Saturday we went to the temple in the late afternoon, and we had a nice homa and Kailasa Puja, and I gave a talk. We had about 140 people present, and we also met some families from Sri Lanka. For example, some of you know Amma Navaratnam, and her younger brother is called Tambi. And so we met Tambi's son and wife and two children who are now living in Ohio, all the way from Sri Lanka. He'll give another talk the next morning, about 200 people the next morning for the larger event. And give a talk on Lord Buddha being a real being, and then we got to attend certain cultural programs, and then we had a wonderful parade around the temple with the parade deities, which was a lot of fun. And met a few devotees there, including Joel and Linda and Mary Beth from our India Inner Search. They all came, said hello. So we got quite a few compliments on being there, and lots of people came forward and particularly thanked us for our talks. They were very appreciative of what we said in our talks, and even requested computer files. So they got the computer files of the talks so they could send them around to their group on email, as well as plan to print them in the newsletter. So that was nice that Gurudeva's teachings were so well received. So again, it was a similar group to our Western Canada trip, and similar idea, that if we can get information on Gurudeva's guru, Yogaswami, to this group. While many of the elders there who know Yogaswami are still alive, it's to our advantage, and then they'll talk about Yogaswami from their experience and help Yogaswami, his teachings, and his attainments be better known among the entire group. So in that spirit, I looked around for some more Yogaswami stories and found a couple for this morning. So here's the first story. Sometimes when Swami stayed in our house, he would spend hours in deep meditation. Seeing Swami seated in the Padmasana lotus posture as the Lord in meditation on my return from work would enrapture me. Early morning when we wake up, seeing Swami lying on the bed, he would look like the Lord of Serenity. On seeing that form, I would sense that we were looking at God, thus proving the words given in that rare mantra, I am He. Even when Swami was not there, it was natural to recall His divine form in words. In the letter He wrote to me, there is a line, great souls have arrived from their experience. The plural word, great souls, generally signifies all those souls who have gained spiritual knowledge. As time went on, it appeared that Swami alone remained hidden in those plural words. Swami, by His own experience, gained the knowledge that we are the soul, Atma. It also became clear that Swami sees directly that God is within and without. I recollected that Swami once said, you can see God only through God. As I remember this, the certainty arose that there was no greater God than Swami, who is constantly seeing God everywhere, within and without. Just as a researcher who touches, feels, and tests a statue suddenly realizes the true form of that statue, which was worshipped earlier, would tremble like a devotee before the original God, such a tremor arose in me. In this state of mind, when I went to Jaffna, I went to the ashram of Kulubatarai to see Swami. Swami was seated amidst a few devotees. That day, even without my knowledge, I fell spontaneously at his feet and worshipped him. From that day onwards until he attained samadhi, whenever I went to see Swami, I worshipped him despite his saying these words, "It is not necessary to worship in front of people, and it is not necessary to fall on the ground. It is sufficient if you worship mentally." But from that day I could not be without falling prostrate and worshipping him. One day he called me by name and said, "What is the one thing God cannot do?" I heard this question and remained shocked. When it is said that God is all-powerful, is there something he cannot do? Swami quietly said, "You need not answer now. You can give the reply when you come in 2 days' time." When I came home, that question kept resounding itself. I could think of nothing else. While I was musing over that question, a section I had studied in the Mahabharata came to my mind. When Krishna asked, "What can be done to prevent the war?" Sahadevan's reply was the section I recall. Sahadevan's reply was, "If I bind you straight away, the war can be prevented." Then Krishna asked him, "How will you bind me?" And Sahadevan responded, he would bind him with the fetters of love. This seemed a satisfactory answer to Swami's question. I decided to tell Swami that when God is captured by the love of the devotee, he cannot free himself. 2 days later, when I went to see Swami, I gave this reply. When he heard my reply, Swami said, "How can that be? You can bind God by love only if love is different from God. You cannot separate God from love. God is love." He continued, "The one act God cannot do is to separate himself from us, even for a moment." By this device, Swami impressed on my heart that God does not separate from us even for a thrice, and is always within us as the soul of our souls. Now since Swami is my God, I began to meditate on the fact Swami is the God who is inseparable from me. End of our story then. The same teaching from Yoga Swami is found in his published sayings in Words of Our Master, where it says, "There is one thing God cannot do. He cannot separate himself from the soul." Yoga Swami, of course, is impressing upon the mind the teaching that the essence of the soul is identical with God. That God is the soul of our soul, the life of our life. In this story, Yoga Swami could have simply made the statement to the devotee, "God is always within us." However, instead, he asked the question, "What is the one thing God cannot do?" and asked the man to think about it for 2 days. When the answer was finally given by Swami that the one thing that God cannot do is separate himself from us, it made a much deeper impression on the devotee's mind than it would have if simply spoken as a statement by Swami in the first place. So in this way, Yoga Swami impressed that teaching indelibly in the mind of this devotee. Gurudeva states the same teaching in the first sloka in Bhasya, Dancing with Siva, where in answer to the question, "Who am I? Where did I come from?" he answers, sloka, "Rishis proclaim that we are not our body, mind or emotions. We are divine souls on a wondrous journey. We came from God, live in God, and are evolving into oneness with God. We are, in truth, the truth we seek." Bhasya. "We are immortal souls living and growing in the great school of earthly experience in which we have lived many lives. Vedic rishis have given us courage by uttering the simple truth, God is the life of our life." A great sage carried it further. We know who that is, right? A great sage carried it further by saying, "There is one thing God cannot do. God cannot separate himself from us. This is because God is our life. God is the life in the birds. God is the life in the fish. God is the life in the animals. Becoming aware of this life energy in all that lives is becoming aware of God's loving presence within us."
We are the undying consciousness and energy flowing through all things. Deep inside, we are perfect this very moment, and we have only to discover and live up to this perfection to be whole. Our energy and God's energy are the same, ever coming out of the void. We are beautiful children of God. Each day we should try to see the life energy in trees, birds, animals, and people. When we do, we are seeing God in action. The Vedas affirm, he who knows God as the life of life, the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, the mind of the mind, he indeed comprehends fully the cause of all causes. Second story. Ready for a second story? This is a good story. When Yogaswami began living in the Kulumbatarai ashram, he would spend the first 3 days of a week in meditation. He would rest on the fourth day. Again, he would spend the last 3 days in meditation. That's pretty strict, right? 6 out of 7 days in meditation, my goodness. Even after the devotees began to arrive in great numbers, he would be wrapped in meditation at will. On Shivaratri day, it was his custom to meditate through the night. A few devotees who had the good fortune to be with Swami at these times saw a light shine where Swami's body should have been. Those devotees who saw this shining light for a few seconds believed that this was a divine light that shone from his blemishless form and was his true form. Even those who could not see this shining light were amazed at the erect, still form of Swami seated like a statue without any movement. That golden form sat as still as his umbrella in the corner. On one occasion, when Swami sat like a pillar, a crow came flying, rested on his head for a while, and flew away. End of story. This same teaching from Yogaswami is found in his published sayings and words of our Master, where it says, if you think of the state of Siva, which is beyond all attributes, it won't come. It will come by itself. One day when I was in that state, a bird came and sat on my head. Even yogis and yanis can't understand that state. Oh, no, should I? Thank you.